have everything you need right here, Sylvia said from the doorway. If you want anything, just holler. You want some juice, Dad? Denise asked, her eyes full of anxiety. He made a smile for her. I'm okay, honey. Thanks anyway. Vicky said,
We'll be your nurses, Dad. We'll take care of you.
Thanks, he said, thinking that Sylvia would be happy to let them take care of him. Or anyone else, as long as she didn't have to. In 2 days, Harry felt almost normal. His doctor came from the hospital to remove the body cast he'd been wrapped in and ordered Harry to make an appointment for an X-ray of his ribs the next week. Denise and Vicky looked in on him before rushing off to school, and once again as soon as they got back. The rest of the time Harry spent in bed, watching television, or pecking at his laptop. Sylvia stayed out of the guest room. It's just as well, Harry thought. I sleep better alone. She doesn't want me near her anyway. It was then that he realized his marriage was over. Had been over for years. They'd just been going through the motions, staying together for the kids' sake. The accident broke the bubble. But where do I go from here? Harry asked himself. How do I tell the girls that I'm leaving them? That their mother wants me to leave them? Pasadena. Anson Aerospace Corporation Headquarters. We've got a real problem, Victor. General Scheib looked more worried than Anson had ever seen him before. The two men were sitting in the corner of Anson's spacious office by the windows that looked out on the parking lot. Scheib was in uniform, although he had loosened up enough to take off his beribboned jacket and toss it on the sofa on the other side of the room. Anson had kept his suit jacket on, his tie precisely knotted at his collar. It was early evening. The sun was setting. The parking lot was almost empty as a handful of late leavers straggled to their cars and drove home. Anson had broken out his best scotch and told his secretary she could go home as soon as she set his phone to refer all incoming calls to the answering machine. As nonchalantly as he could manage, Anson replied, "We've identified the cause of the accident and taken steps to make sure it won't happen again." "I know," Scheib said, avoiding Anson's eyes. "But there's a ton of pressure coming down on us. The head of the Missile Defense Agency has never believed in the laser. He calls it Buck Rogers' fantasy. That's my boss. That's what I've got to work with." Anson picked up his glass from the little table between them. He'd poured a generous dollop of scotch for the general. He himself was drinking dry Amontillado. "We've made the laser work. The testing program was only a couple of months behind schedule, so we'll be 5 or 6 months behind. That's no big deal. The laser blew up, Victor. Accidents happen." Scheib stared at him for several heartbeats. "Do you know what would happen if your laser blew up when it was flying in a 747? You'd have a dozen deaths on your hands, and my career would go down in flames with the plane." "We'll fix it," Anson said firmly. "We'll make it work." Shaking his head ever so slightly, Scheib said, "We don't have just the Air Force and the MDA to deal with here, Victor. There's the White House, for God's sake. The President's cut missile defense again, and the committee people in Congress. That's where the funding comes from. They're in favor of the airborne laser. They were in favor. But now, even our strongest supporters are wavering." "But we've proved the concept," Anson insisted, feeling more alarmed than he wanted to show. "We've shown that the laser can destroy a target almost instantaneously.